Monster Man, special episode, Robotic Viruses.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
Today's episode is a special episode brought to you... Let me start with a quick programming note. This episode is out of order, as you'll have noticed if you're listening to it on the day it comes out. It's not scheduled to come out for another couple of days. And if you're a $2 or higher Patreon subscriber, you may be thinking to yourself, where's my new episode of Patron Deities? The reason for this change is that the next episode of Patron Deities, contrary to the scheduling announcement in the last episode, is going to be a holiday special, and because it is the holidays, it is going out on the main Monster Man feed in addition to the Patreon feed. That being the case, I wanted to bring it out as the last episode of 2022, so I've switched its place with this episode, assuming this episode doesn't go out late, which is very likely. So that's why if you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it's a little bit early and the other episode is missing. In a couple of days, none of this will mean anything. All right, this episode is a special episode brought to you by the generosity and public spirit of my Patreon backers, and in particular of Patreon backer Jason, who has requested this episode on behalf of his son, James, who has just turned 11. If you'd like to be like James and get your own special episode, or like Jason and get your own special episode for your favorite monster fan, all you gotta do is go to patreon.com/monsterman and pledge at the $5 level. And if you do that, you'll also get the rewards for all other tiers. Normally, I thank new patrons on numbered episodes, but since I've been doing the boss rush, I haven't had any numbered episodes over the last month, and that means I'm thanking them on specials. Regardless of when I thank the patrons, my gratitude remains unchanged. So thank you very much to new patron, Stuart Carmichael, who has actually appeared on this show. He was a guest reader on the special episode about Ettins. So Stuart, thank you very much for your support. And Jason, I hope that you and James enjoyed today's episode. Now, James has asked me to talk about, quote, robotic viruses, close quotes. Jason writes, he's not totally sure what that means either, but thought that it sounded cool. Well, I think that James has clearly already mastered one of the most important principles of monster design. You start with something that sounds cool and then see where you go from there. So I had a little think about James's prompt of robotic viruses, and I think that there are a couple of different ways that this idea could be interpreted. And I'm going to cover three of them in today's episode, unless while I'm doing it, something new occurs to me and it turns out to be four. The idea of robotic viruses can be understood in three ways. The first is that the viruses are robotic. If you've ever looked at a picture of a virus up close, they look very strange. They have kind of a regular geometric structure, but there are some in particular that look especially sort of mechanical. When I was in school, the virus that was used in like the illustrations in my biology textbooks was a bacteriophage. And they definitely look like some kind of alien robots. They have sort of a long, thin body with a faceted head on the top, and then little tailed segments that look a bit like insect-like legs at the bottom. Now, that's probably just my mind projecting patterns on there, but they really do look like something that might have been on the cover of a science fiction magazine in the 30s. And when I was in school and taking biology, one thing that really confused me was that scientists were still debating, and I believe that they still are debating, whether viruses are alive or not. So with bacteria, which are the microorganisms, sort of the other microorganisms that we look at that cause diseases, they are, I guess, generally agreed to be alive. But it's not quite true of viruses. Are they living things, or are they organic structures that just, like, interact with living things? So I guess what this tells us is that alive is just a description that we apply to things. Apparently, there are some things that we find it very hard to apply that description to or not. What that means is that it seems like not a very long jump between a virus and a machine. It's something that behaves as though it were alive, but we're not sure if it really is alive, and it has that kind of mechanical appearance to it. So what would it mean for a virus to be robotic? Well, first off, it would have to be very small. nanobots, as these kinds of very small robots are called, would be able to go inside someone's body and interact with their cells in a way that, you know, what you would sort of typically think of as a robot wouldn't be able to. You'd have to explain some of these concepts in the game, and they wouldn't necessarily fit very well with the fantasy setting. I think that is a challenge that you have to deal with when you are introducing ideas like viruses into a fantasy game, because most fantasy games are kind of based on the history of the Middle Ages. Not exactly, but sort of inspired by that. And at that time, people did not know what viruses were or bacteria. They didn't really know what caused diseases. They had some theories, but they were mostly not right. I think most fantasy fans are also science fiction fans as well, so the players will have an idea what these things are, but you may want to have some thought beforehand about how the characters in the world are going to describe these things and think about them. The robotic virus could be the creation of some inventor in your fantasy world. Could be somebody who doesn't really know what they're doing and has just kind of created this thing accidentally, or it could be someone who's created a virus to actually make people sick, whether to like hold them for ransom with the cure or to weaken a city that they're trying to take over. And you could have the PCs trying to find the bad guy's lab so that they could find out what the virus was and, you know, make a cure for it. Or you could have them being shrunk down and going inside the infected person's body so that they have to fight the virus bots themselves. I think this idea works best if you set up the disease gradually in your campaign over a longer period of time. So before the PCs get involved in it, you should start to hint that there is something going on. And I think a lot of the time in games, we don't really think about people getting sick unless the disease is magical, which I suppose this one is in a sense. But in real life, of course, people get sick all the time. Or indeed, they sometimes say they're sick when they aren't. So I'm listening to an audio version of the classic Chinese novel, The Romance of the Three Kingdoms. And a lot of the characters in that novel are government officials. And they follow very strict rules of etiquette, very strict rules of social behavior. And so if they go to see the prime minister, who's kind of the villain, question mark, of the story, they go to see the prime minister, they can't directly disobey one of his orders. If he tells them do this, they can't really not do it. And if he invites them somewhere, they can't really not go. So a lot of the time he'll invite a character to come and see him, and they'll pretend to be sick because they don't want to go, because they'd be stuck in a position where they'd have to do what the prime minister said, and it would be rude to refuse the invitation. The only like possible excuse is, oh, I'm not well. So you could have some of these kind of incidents earlier in your campaign. So maybe the PCs get asked to do something because the person who would normally do it is sick. Or maybe they go to visit one of the normal contacts and they're sort of coughing and sneezing during the interview. Or maybe when they go to a temple to get somebody healed or cured of something, they have to wait in a long line because there are so many patients waiting to be seen by clerics. And then gradually the disease spreads, the crisis mounts, they begin to realize that it's artificial, and then they have to track down whoever created it and fight their way through the evil virus lab. And indeed, you could have the robotic virus be resistant to magical attempts to cure it, because there are spells in most fantasy games that will cure diseases, but maybe because this isn't really a disease, the spells are not effective. So that's the first version of this, which is that the virus is sort of like a normal virus, only it's robotic. The second idea for a robotic virus is that it's a robotic virus. That is to say, it's not the virus that's robotic, but that it makes people act robotically. You know, we tend to think of ourselves as minds in control of bodies, but that's not always true. The reality is that things that happen to our bodies can have a big influence on our minds. To choose a really small example, I used to feel really down and tired every day in the late afternoon, and I would just get into these bad moods, and then I realized, or in reality, I think my wife pointed out to me, that I just need to eat a snack around that time. And so now, every day at 4 o'clock, I have an apple, I drink some water, and I feel fine. And that idea is kind of comforting in one way. Like, it's nice to know that it's not that the world is so terrible. Actually, I'm just hungry. But it's also a little disturbing, right? Because it suggests that some of the things that I think or the ways that I feel are the result of something that's outside of my control. And I don't like that idea very much. I don't think anybody does. I think this is related to the reason why some people feel a little uncomfortable about having machines inside their bodies. They feel like those machines are not really part of them. They're not really under their control. Now, as we've just seen, maybe other parts of them aren't under their own control either, so perhaps it's unreasonable to be afraid, if you like, but fear is unreasonable. The idea of a virus that makes you robotic is an interesting one. I think there are a couple of ways that you could approach it. The first would be that the virus has been engineered, intended to make you robotic, and presumably to bring you under the control of whoever created it. The second version is kind of like that, but with a slight change. So it could be that the virus was created intentionally, but that it was supposed to help people. It was just made by someone who thinks that making people more robotic is helping them. This idea I kind of stole from the Cybermen in Doctor Who. There have been lots of different versions of the Cybermen, and they've had different origin stories, but to me, one of the best and most frightening is the version where they intentionally abandoned their emotions. They didn't want to be afraid, they didn't want to suffer pain or to feel compassion or friendship. They thought that those were things that would get in the way of their pursuit of survival. So maybe there's someone out there who thinks the same way, who thinks that people need to get rid of their human way of thinking and be more robotic. They won't be happier necessarily. I mean, are robots happy? But they'll be safer. They'll make better choices. And isn't that what matters? This is always a fun idea because it's nice to have villains who have a motivation where, by their own lights, they are trying to do good. Now, not every villain should be like that. In the real world, lots of people do bad things just for power or money, and people will argue a lot about what are the best motivations for villains, but I think that the answer over a campaign length is that they should be varied. Not every villain should be secretly sympathetic. Not every villain should be just over-the-top evil. The third version of a virus that makes you act robotically would be one where this is just a side effect. After all, we know that a disease can affect the parts of the brains that govern thought and emotion. For example, take the disease pellagra. Now, pellagra is not a virus. It comes from not getting the right nutrients in your food, and it used to be very common, although these days, not as much. Though there are still places in the world where people who don't always get enough to eat can suffer from pellagra. But it used to be very, very common, and now it's much less so. And pellagra has a lot of effects on you, but one of them is that it can actually affect your nervous system and your brain. It can make you irritable. It can make it hard to concentrate. And there are lots of other conditions that can also affect your emotions or how you think. Physical diseases that, because they have some kind of effect on your brain, can change the way that you think. So what if our virus isn't actually intended to affect how people feel, but it's just one of the side effects? It does something to your brain that suppresses your emotions. If it's only temporary, the players might have a lot of fun role-playing their characters and thinking about what they would do if they were not feeling their normal range of emotions. Of course, that applies to anything that has any effect on the emotions, not just suppressing them, but that's another story. I think there's a lot of potential for fun roleplay with both players and NPCs who are not being their usual selves. So that's the second version of a robotic virus. The third version of a robotic virus is, of course, a virus that affects robots. So the disease virus isn't the only kind of virus. There's also a computer virus in the real world. Like a biological virus, a computer virus gets into your computer and then makes copies of itself and tries to transmit them to other computers. Like a virus, its goal, if that's the right word, is to replicate itself. In the same way that a disease, a pathogen, gets into a person and then makes them take actions that will spread the disease, like sneezing. So what's the equivalent of this in a fantasy world? A lot of fantasy worlds, especially in the last 10 or 20 years, have some kind of robotic or animated characters. So an example of that in Dungeons & Dragons would be the Warforged from the Eberron setting. But there are lots of other ones, and of course it's a tradition that goes back to Pinocchio and other stories of artificial people, or the legend of the Golem of Prague. This doesn't work in a world where there's only a small number of animated people. Because the scary thing about a virus is the way that it spreads throughout a group, throughout a community. And so you want there to be a lot of these artificial people, these robots in your society in order to do this plotline. Because one of the things in D&D about Warforged is that they don't have a lot of the vulnerabilities that we as humans do. And so I think we kind of sometimes look at these artificial characters, these robots or cyborgs or whatever, and we think, you know, well, I'm not saying I want to be a robot, but it'd be nice not to have to eat, or it'd be nice not to have to sleep. And of course, one of the things that they typically don't do is get sick. So if there were a virus that affected them, then that would be a pretty big change. And we'd have to ask ourselves, where did this virus come from? Is it something that naturally adapted? Viruses mutate all the time. So is this a virus that somehow mutated to infect these non-biological beings? Or is it like one of the examples we gave up above, where someone has intentionally created it? You could even see player characters using something like this. They got hold of an example of the virus and could then use it against constructs that they encountered, because often you get dungeons that have these kinds of things in them, right? Some animated statues or walking suits of armor or some other kind of artificial constructs in a dungeon. It makes sense because a lot of the time dungeons are sort of ruins and you need defenders that might have been around for a long period of time. So the idea of, you know, a player character getting infected with this stuff, but then the party getting hold of a sample and using it as a kind of biological warfare, that kind of reminds us of movies in which the heroes have to upload some computer virus into the bad guy's computer. You know, they have to sneak into his office and put the thumb drive in the computer. You could even do something like that where we have a villain who has some kind of army of constructs at his command, a bit like the Golden Army in Hellboy 2, the Golden Army, which I just realized was a while ago, and you may not have seen it, James, but I'm not saying it's great, but the robots look cool. Anyway, the idea of uploading, as it were, infecting the virus into this robot legion, right? Robot legion's a classic villain kind of thing to control, lets you fight them without feeling too bad about hurting people. And also, you know, infiltrating the villain's lair and uploading the virus into their robot legion in order to destroy it is the kind of thing that maybe an army wouldn't be able to do, but a ragtag band of adventurers, each with their own special skills and fancy gimmicks, would be ideal for. So this is the kind of job that you can see being given to an adventuring party, which could make for a fun scenario. So those are three different interpretations of the idea of a robotic virus. And I think this is a really fun game. A lot of the time you can come up with some interesting stuff for a game if you just take something that sounds cool and then think about the different things it could mean. You can actually see this in some games. So it's less true in D&D, which although it's not always consistent, is often consistent. But for example, you can see in another popular game from when I was young and still today, Warhammer, that there are a lot of names of things and images as well. So you can do this with pictures too. A lot of names and images that the creators of that game reused multiple times, kind of trying to find the thing it was right for. So there are multiple groups called the Disciples of the Red Redemption. You can tell that someone just thought that the name Disciples of the Red Redemption sounded cool. And so you can take those prompts. I love books that refer to things like that, but then don't go into any detail about it. So someone will say, ah, yes, that was when we were fighting the Crimson Buffalo Legion. And then they don't tell you anything about who the Crimson Buffalo Legion are, and you have to imagine it. And there's so many different possible interpretations of what a Crimson Buffalo Legion might be that you kind of can come up with several good ideas just based on that little prompt. So we don't have to decide what a robotic virus is going to be until we decide to introduce the idea into our games. Me personally, I kind of like the one that affects your brain and makes you act robotic, but that's kind of maybe a more specific interpretation of that term. But those are just some of the ones that I came up with. Maybe you have some different ideas about it. I'd love to hear about them. All right. I think that's about all the robotic viruses that we have time for today. James, once again, great prompt. Really enjoyed writing something for it, and a happy belated birthday. Jason, thank you very much for your support. I hope that everyone enjoyed today's episode. This is going to be the last regular episode, or last special episode even, of Monster Man in 2022, but later on this week we are having a special episode of Patron Deities that is going to come out not just on the Patron Deities feed, but also on the main Monster Man feed. So I hope that you'll join me then for Patron Deities, and join me again next year, right here, on Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.